Let's continue reading verses 1 through 7 of 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, in this first section of chapter 3, we have an exhortation to Christian wives in reference to their husbands, and then an exhortation to Christian husbands in reference to their wives. Let's read the first six verses. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Once again, some background notes. In Romans chapter 13, verse 1, we read here, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." This verse is saying that God is the source of all authority, and he has ordained certain lines of authority between himself and man. Now, man may corrupt these lines of authority and misuse and abuse God's authority, and they will have to answer to God for this. But still, the lines of authority are ordained of God. Nero, the pagan Roman emperor, was on the throne when Paul wrote Romans 13. From Romans 13 and other scriptures, we see that God has ordained four areas of authority. There is the area of the state or government. There is the area of the church. There is the area of the family. And then there is the area of labor. Now, we're all involved in all four lines of authority. We will not only be under authority, but in some cases, we will have authority as well. Now, what is our Christian responsibility and duty in reference to these four areas of authority? When we have authority, we are not to abuse it or misuse it. When we are under authority, we are to submit. Again, the only time we disobey is when the authority above us requires us to do something that is completely contrary to the Word of God. Then we obey the higher authority, namely God Himself, because all authority finds its source in God. Again, remember Acts 5:29. We ought to obey God rather than men. Now, in the second half of 1 Peter chapter 2, we were exhorted concerning two lines of authority, the area of government and the area of labor. Now, in this first half of chapter 3, we have a third area of authority in view, namely the family. That brings us then to our doctrinal points for this first section of 1 Peter chapter 3. So, doctrinal point number one, Christian wives should respect and submit to their husbands. Christian wives should respect and submit to their husbands. Verses 1 and 2 again. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Notice, wives are exhorted to submit to their own husbands. This is not a general command for all women to be subject to all men. No. This is a line of authority in the home where the husband is the head of the family. Now, this does not mean that the husband is to boss everyone around and bark out commands like a drill sergeant. And this does not mean that husbands don't consult their wives in decisions that are made. And this does not mean that husbands and wives can't function as a team. What it does mean is that the husband has the responsibility for leadership in the home. The husband will answer to God for failure in this area. Dad's here this morning. Before God, you have the primary responsibility for the spiritual condition of your family, and you will answer for it. Now, the wife is to respect this position and submit to it. In fact, whatever she can do to maintain that structure of authority in the home and foster the leadership role of the husband is good, and she will be blessed for it. In verses 5 and 6, Sarah is given as a biblical role model. She respected and submitted to Abraham, calling him Lord or Master. Some of your translations just have Lord there. Notice it's not a capital L, right? But it's Lord or Master. The point is that Sarah recognized and honored the authority structure that God had set up for the home. She submitted to Abraham even when she left her house and home in the prosperous city of Ur and moved to Canaan to live in a tent. That was not an easy transition. We know from archaeology, by the way, that Ur was a very prosperous city. So most likely Abraham and Sarah had a very nice home, very nice house. But Abraham got the call of God. Sarah submitted to this. It's interesting that the Bible uses Sarah as an example here. Notice, by the way, that Abraham is not brought out here or in any other scripture as a model husband. You ever notice that? Abraham is commended for his faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham is commended for his great faith, but not for his great treatment of Sarah. And this is probably one reason why Sarah is used as Exhibit A here in 1 Peter 3. Sarah did not have it easy. So there certainly will be unideal situations. For example, when the husband is not even a believer, as we see at the end of verse 1. And where there may even be a fearful situation, verse 6. The wife is still to respect the position of the husband, even though she may not be able to respect his behavior. And even when she may have to go to other lines of authority for help, such as the church or the state, there may be situations where she may have to do that. That would not be wrong, to go to other lines of authority that God has ordained. He doesn't have to submit in beating to death or something like that. I know there are some Christians that hold that position. I don't think that is what the Bible would teach at all. But she's still to respect that position, that line of authority that God has set up. Her godly and reverent conduct may be the means of winning the unbelieving and ungodly husband to Christ, as we see there in verse 1. That even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. The fear here would be respect for that line of authority that God has set up. We know many examples where this has happened, where this has taken place, and I'm sure you do as well. You know, there may be some women in our audience this morning that are in difficult situations in this connection. May this scripture be an encouragement to you. The point that's being made about the wives' adornment in verses 3 and 4 is not that wives can't have nice clothes and hairstyles or wear jewelry. No. The point is that godly conduct should characterize Christian women, not outward adornment. A gentle and quiet spirit is very precious in the sight of God. Verse 4. Christian wives should respect and submit to their husbands. Doctrinal point number 2. Christian husbands should understand and honor their wives. Christian husbands should understand and honor their wives. Verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, that is, your wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So husbands here this morning, you thought you were getting off the hook, didn't you? No way. We have the greater responsibility before God. We are to understand our wives and be sensitive to their spiritual, emotional, and physical needs. Remember Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Husbands are to honor their wives as the weaker vessel. Now, what does that mean? Weaker vessel does not mean intellectually weaker or morally weaker. No, it has to do with her physical and emotional strength. In general, wives are not as physically strong as their husbands. There are some exceptions, by the way. As I look around it, no. There are some exceptions. And in general, wives get more emotionally involved in situations. The wife is generally more compassionate and more involved with the heart. And that's good. That's a good aspect of the way God has designed women. But as a result, what we read here, she is the weaker vessel. And the husband is to be sensitive and understanding of his wife's feelings and emotions. Husbands, remember, you and your wife together are heirs of the grace of life. Your headship position does not make you any better or more privileged. Make sure that your wife gets to enjoy the blessings of life. We're equal heirs, right, of the grace of life. There are some husbands that take it as if, well, the wife, she's just, you know, I get all the good things. She just stays at home, whatever. No, we're heirs together of the grace of life. Christian husbands should understand and honor their wives. Practical application from this first section of 1 Peter 3. Husbands, are your prayers being answered? Husbands, are your prayers being answered? You say, no, Dave, they're not being answered, and I don't know why. Is it possible that verse 7 is the answer? Husbands, likewise, dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Is it possible that your prayers are hindered because of verse 7? Husbands here this morning? You know, God may not answer our prayers for a number of reasons, and this is certainly one of them. Husbands, we need to examine our relationship with our wives. Are we understanding them? Are we honoring them? Are we recognizing that they are heirs of the grace of life just as much as we are? Is it possible that this is why your prayers don't seem to make it any further than the ceiling? Husbands, are your prayers being answered? Convicting, isn't it? Good place to close off this morning with that question, men, ringing in our ears and minds. Are our prayers being hindered because of the way we treat our wives?